Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
There's been a bit of a dilemma in the household, you see. With child number 4 on the way, it's really hard to pick names. They're really tricky. Oh. And I really want Aaron if it's a boy. We don't know if it's a boy
really?
Or a girl.
Will you call him AJ? I'm on my own.
No, I'd like that, but I'm on my own.
Oh.
No one else is interested in that at all.
So. And what if it's a girl?
Oh, whatever. It's
Aaronette.
Okay. That's an idea.
Oh, no, Larissa, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry.
Aaron is. That's pretty bad. I've got some inspiration, though. There is a couple that, well, first of all, I'll set up their other children's names and then give you the latest name for their third child, their daughter. Their first child was called Pie. Second child was called Honey. And they're good and fine.
Oh. Look, okay.
Pie
fun
is,
to call them,
you know,
together.
Yeah.
Honey Pie.
Oh, it's sweet. And they're unique. That's the thing. They particularly wanted unique names. Well, this particular family, and the dad's name's Lior, which is a great unique
That's
name
a
as well.
Name.
It's a wonderful name. Now, they found another name, and they did some research to make sure that no one else has used it. They have taken, I think, something that we would use a lot, and it's the like button in Facebook. You,
you can
click like on a comment or a status update or a picture. Well,
or an Aaron and Helen page.
Or an Aaron and Helen page. Just search Facebook Aaron and Helen and click like. There you go, to just get into the zone of the whole thing. They're calling their daughter Like.
No.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
At what point does naming your children become child abuse?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with Like. Like's a good one. It's better than the dislike, as it used to be,
yeah,
so you've got Like. I have inspiration now, though. I do have inspiration. I kind of prefer Twitter. So, child number 4, male or female, retweet.
Oh.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, at what point does naming your children become child abuse? That point. That's pretty much the line.
I'm going to try it at Starbucks or something today. You know, they write your name on the cup.
Yeah.
That's the best way to test the name. I'll put retweet on there.
Oh, see how that goes.
Retweet. You're flat white. Retweet.
Don't ask me why it took me so long, but I finally wheeled out the electric blanket last night.
Oh.
Why had I not pulled that out maybe 2 weeks ago?
I'm not a fan of those.
Really?
They just kind of... What a response. It was kind of a cross between horrified, shocked, and surprised. I don't know, it just seems wrong sitting on something or lying on something that's electrified like that.
The trick is to turn it off as soon as you get into bed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's pre-warmed for you, but then you don't wake up in the middle of the night feeling like your kidneys have been broiled.
Yeah.
Stick these in a pie with some steak.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah,
ooh.
Definitely the tip to turn it off once you jump in.
Yeah, oh, just... Still not a fan.
Really?
Eventually, you know, just it's cold when you're first getting to bed. All it does is take that initial chill out of
the bed. It does. Yes, your point, B. Okay, well, you stick with your stripy toe socks and I'll stick with my electric blanket. Well, our city is actually just one guy, one seriously multi-talented guy who started experimenting with music in his parents' Minnesota basement and ended up topping charts around the world with his album Ocean Eyes, and in particular the huge single Fireflies. He's wildly creative, deeply spiritual, deliberately uplifting, and apparently a rabid Lord of the Rings fan. Adam Young, very good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Wasn't sure if we should learn to say something in Elvish to make you feel at home. How long have you been such a Lord of the Rings fan?
Oh, man, I've been a fan of the books. I'm one of those guys who's like, read the books every year since I was, you know, since I could learn to read, basically. So when the movies came out, I was so into it, and, yeah, I just have this love for it, so, yeah.
Great.
Got to ask about Fireflies. That you wrote this pretty much on your computer in the basement, that aspect, all software-driven. How did something, I guess in a sense you could see it as a bit nerdy, turn out to be such an awesome, cool song? How that process? How did you get creativity out of your laptop in your bedroom?
You know, that was a very surreal thing, even now, just looking back on the way the whole thing came together. And I really can't even, you know, plot out enough dots to, you know, connect the dots between then and now. And regarding that song and how it was written, it kind of wrote itself, and I was just kind of there, you know, I just happened to be there to sort of catch it, and it was, you know, something was so inspiring to me, where one kid in front of a laptop in his bedroom can suddenly be this you know, conductor in front of a symphony, just kind of by layering and recording, you know, all these different takes and compositing them all together, was just such an inspiring thing for me as one person in a room, because I think that I have enough vision where I can kind of see, you know, all angles to this three-dimensional piece of art that's music. And once I kind of tapped into that with sampling and sequencing and all kinds of this electronic technology, it was like the sky was the limit suddenly. And to this day, it's still so very inspiring.
Last time you came out to Australia, your concerts sold out. What's it like to visit somewhere on the other side of the world and they're singing every word to your song?
You know, that's something I can't even come to grips with even now. I definitely have spent a lot of time just lying awake at night thinking about that. And I remember the first time I got off the plane and showed up and you know, to a sold out room full of kids, and everyone knew the lyrics to these songs that I'd written so far away and songs that I'd written with absolutely no expectation of them connecting with people even at all. And suddenly here I am on the other side of the world, and, you know, I can't even call my parents because they're asleep because of the time zones and stuff. And just, you know, standing on stage, there's a lot of moments on stage when I am in places so far away that I never expect I'd ever be, where everything kind of hits me right in the face, and sometimes I forget the lyrics, or I forget what I'm doing or what I'm playing, because it's so potent and it's so inspiring, it's so compelling. I just have to stop and, like, you know, shake my head and get my bearings and just say, wow, I'm so blessed just to even be here.
Chatting to Adam Young from Owl City. Hope 103.2 will continue the chat in just a moment.
Because my dreams are bursting at the seams.
Hope 103.2, that is Fireflies at 20 past 7. Continuing our chat with Adam Young from Owl City.
You've got your new album coming out, All Things Bright and Beautiful, in just a few weeks. And the first single, Alligator Sky, is out already. Can you please talk us through how you've managed to make an optimistic end of the world song?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at the song. I guess just kind of as a premise, I really fell in love with the idea of I guess humanity kind of leaving Earth, but rather than it be this post-apocalyptic, you know, very dark, very morose vibe, I thought, well, what if there was a twist on it and it was something very optimistic, as if people were excited to leave? So, you know, there might be this big, you know, kind of like blowout party, and then everyone gets on their rockets and takes off, you know, to somewhere, you know, brighter and more beautiful and bigger. And to me, that was, you know, my imagination just kind of took that and ran with it.
In your blog, you describe Jesus as the only ray of hope I have in this haunted house of a world. When did faith start taking such a central role in your life?
That's really been something that I've been very, that's been such a big part of my life, you know, since as far back as I can remember. And looking back on kind of my upbringing and the way my parents raised me, it isn't even so much about just the way I was raised as it is, you know, something that I've very much taken into my own. And certainly, you know, for me personally, my faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ has just always been so important to me in all areas, and certainly with music. I feel like I would be, you know, kind of doing a disservice if I were to hide that fact, or if I were to, be ashamed of that in any way. Certainly not my intention to go out, you know, preaching to the masses, but I think it would be a little bit of a wrong to really hide that fact, since it is such a big part of who I am and certainly fuels the way my mind, creates, really.
And one sort of side project along the way, you've done just a breathtaking cover of In Christ Alone that I can't listen to at my desk at work because I will cry every time I play it. What's the story behind your version of that?
You know, that song is, I couldn't agree with you more. That song really has always been really just the one song that whenever we'd sing it in church or whenever I'd hear it out and about, it would just bring tears to my eye, you know, tears to my eyes no matter what. And something about the lyrics and the melodies that just has this, it just brings this imagery. It's so potent and it's so powerful. And I knew that I would love to kind of try to do kind of a rendition of that. And I remember sitting down at my piano in my living room, and I barely made it through the recording of that song, and it's just a simple little arrangement that I put together, but I had tears in my eyes the whole time because it's just such a moving song that really sums up so many things, and it's a blessing to have been able to kind of recreate that, and when people really caught wind of it and started to say, hey, I heard this song and I appreciate it and I appreciate what you're doing, and to me that's there's no greater compliment, and that's such an honoring thing.
Now, anything you're going to make sure you do while you're in Australia? Will you get some time to look around?
I would love to. I would really like to. Last time I was there, it was kind of a whirlwind, so we really didn't get very much time to poke around and sightsee and whatnot. But this time, last time I was there, I didn't have a camera anyway. So this time, I actually went out and bought one, and I got it ready, and I got it all charged up. So yeah, if we have a few days off, certainly I'll be the guy out there. Where's Adam? Well, he's probably out, taking photos and just exploring. So that'll be me.
Great.
Now, I've wanted one of these for a long time, and I'm hoping that when you come out, you'll be selling perhaps some Owl City onesies in your merchandise stand at the shows. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. We've brought those out a few times on the road. Yeah, it's hard to beat a good a good pair of pajamas, full body one piece pajamas. So I'll definitely see what we can do.
Great, it's like a band shirt for your whole body, even your feet.
Yeah, that's right.
Great. Well, thank you so much for catching up with us, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a huge honor, so thank you.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.